It's time for What's Up with Jacinda Ardern.
Hi, Jacinda Ardern. How are you?
Was that an extended part of my intro?
No. we just let that slide through there, but I'm saying, sorry about that.
No problem.
Hey, so big weekend for the Labour Party, the party that of which you lead, that's so close to a general election as well, Jacinda. You released
12 days.
12 days. Have you?
I know, isn't that incredible?
That's crazy. It's I guess you could say, oh, and after those 12 days, oh, it'll all be over. No, it won't be. Either way, no, it won't be at all.
No, the plan is to make myself busier. That's the plan. Yep.
That's the spirit. But a busy weekend, like I say, and you announced your 100-day plans, right?
We did.
And your top 10 priorities. We knew sort of most of them, didn't we, really? But it was just sort of tweaking them and making sure everything was put out there. Anything that we didn't already know that you threw at us?
No. Pretty much it was about just, you know, bringing to you that list and letting people know the speed at which some of them would happen. So, for instance, you know, those student allowance changes, that extra $50 for living costs and student allowances going up from the beginning of next year. So that means that we'd actually have to pass the law through Parliament pretty quickly, but that we're going to do that. We're going to make sure we bring in the increase in minimum wage so that can happen from the 1st of April. Make sure that we ban foreign speculators. That one we're going to do from buying existing homes. That one's going to happen by Christmas. We think we can get that one through quickly. So it was just having a sit down and thinking, you know, what practically can we get laws drafted on quickly and get done within that first 100 days?
I mean, at one stage, at any stage in the week leading up to that, did you go, oh, what about that $11 billion? Oh! wasn't that an unusual tactic from the National Party?
Yeah, it was.
You'd want to get a couple of experts on your side, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Not one. They didn't have one because there was no hole. I mean, it was wrong. It was a total play. And you know, I guess in a campaign, people will see it for what it is, really. But they had not one person other than themselves who could verify that what they were saying was true, because it wasn't, and it was so obvious. You know, we'd actually even written it into the budget. I carried around for a while the plan that we'd released publicly with a little highlighter through the thing.
I know, you took it to the you took it to the bait with like a prop.
I did.
You used it as a prop. And then I saw you put it down. You could see it down at your feet because you wanted to get it out of the way, but you could still see it down at your feet.
Oh, just saying.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Just saying.
Yes, I needed my podium space back. I had a little tab there. Just to point out that we'd made it really obvious because we released our entire plan around how we were paying for everything we were talking about as well. So.
Well, National Party is saying that you, the government is saying that you haven't thought ahead. That there's a lot of things that you haven't covered off in the budget, which are sort of ongoing costs that definitely need to be covered every single budget, and you need to allocate a certain amount of money for this, and there's a lot of stuff you haven't done there. It seemed like quite a desperate technique from them, and I wondered. I want to go back to that debate where the TV3 debate, where when Bill English said, "Look, I mean, he really tried to pull that one out, didn't he? I will get 100,000 kids out of poverty, within 2 years." And I thought to myself, Jacinda, why didn't you just say, "Dude, they're in poverty because of you"?
You've
been in charge for 9 years.
Actually, the next debate, I asked him how many in the last 9 years have been lifted out of poverty. And that was probably the question I should have asked at the time, because, yes, well, you know, great to have a goal of lifting up those 100,000 kids, but where have you been? he couldn't answer that question, because actually it's tended to hover around the 300,000 mark for some time.
That is just absurd. It's like something seriously, seriously wrong that needs attending to there. And which another thing I want to ask you about that debate is why it's. I thought that there was a glaring omission of something that wasn't talked about that really needed to be. I was really surprised that the mental health issue and the suicide issue haven't come up in those debates at all yet.
I agree with you, because I raise it in almost most town hall meetings and some speeches, I raise that. Went along and joined a rally yesterday.
We discussed this a couple of months ago about how we thought it was going to really come to the top during the election campaign. What's the response like publicly when you do talk about it?
Publicly, it gets raised all the time. If I don't raise it, it gets raised with me. So the only place it's been absent has been those televised debates, really.
Is it something that you guys are going to come out and... I know that you're passionate about it. Is it something that the Labor Party have a policy on, or is it something that you have a policy, discussion?
Yes.
Surely you've had discussions, surely.
Well, one thing the sector's said to us is that they want us to have a look at services across the board. So the people who are mental health users and service users and people who work in the sector have said, actually, you need a review where we're at right now. So we've said,
oh,
okay.
Oh, shit.
That you want us to do that work, we'll do that work. But we also have already pledged to put those mental health teams into secondary schools, and we've already pledged
to put extra support in
primary and intermediate schools, and we want to trial a bit of a scheme where you put primary mental health services in with GP services. So we'll give that a run as well. So we've already got a bit of a plan of what we'll do straight off the bat.
And I believe you had the Yes We Care rally came to Parliament a few days ago, and that is, to me, that's one of the most concerning things. Factors is that not only have we, as our suicide rate huge, it's gone up, and it means somewhere along the way we are failing people terribly, and there are people out there who are in need of assistance. And they need to know that there's somewhere they can go, and they don't know that, there is nowhere they can go, and they're just dying. And we try, with the road toll, we sit there and we tell people we get the message out over and over and over and over because if there's just a few people less, even that's a win, you know.
Yeah.
And surely we should have the same attitude towards suicide. Did you say that you'd like to work towards a zero suicide policy? I think that's a really good thing to do.
What other number should we, could we possibly tolerate other than zero? So I know there's a lot of talk about
getting
a target, but I think that says that you've got a tolerance for it, and I don't think New Zealand should. So I think the reason the target's been raised is people want to know that you're focused on it. So I understand why they've asked the question, but I don't think I'm ever going to be satisfied so long as there are lives lost. So that's why I've always been honest that actually nothing other than zero will ever feel right to me.
Can you point out a few things that the current government has where they've dropped the ball badly on this subject?
It's generally the underfunding. I mean, when I was at a rally just the other day where a young woman came over to me to tell me her story of how she had really battled with depression. She said that she had sought help from services and been told that until she made an attempt on her own life, she wouldn't get the help that she needed, essentially. Now, that's devastating. How is it that someone who's reaching out for help like that would be told that? So when you've got...
And that's someone who's got to the stage where they actually... are bold enough to reach out for help.
Absolutely. So when Bill English says that we've got a hole in our funding, he's claiming that we haven't put enough money aside to keep pace with the population growth and inflation and health. The reason we've been so explicit that we have is because over the last 9 years, National hasn't done that. So we're down over $2 billion in health service funding. That's why the DHBs are crying out. And one of the areas that we know has felt the brunt of that is places like mental health, because, if someone is brought into a hospital and need a critical care, then that's something that you have to put funding into, and that's what DHBs have done. And I think the areas that have suffered have been areas like preventing people from descending into real trouble with mental health prevention. So that's what really, if you want to know what the problem is, they just haven't resourced our health services properly. That's a big part of it.
Bill English has responded today to an invitation to meet families of suicide victims that he basically snubbed. And I actually think the whole way they've even reported this is unbelievable. Is that the National Party have agreed that yes, they made a mistake and they should meet suicide victims' families. It's like, well, that sounds so thoughtless and and so and so disgenuine.
And look, there's no doubt. I mean, the grief is intense for those families, you know, and but we should approach this not as politicians, but just as humans. That's my view, and I think it's hard not to when I think they'd be.
Well, but politicians are representing humans.
Exactly, yeah. but also, you know, I've known families who have experienced this loss, people close to me. I doubt there'd be any MP who doesn't as well.
Exactly,
I doubt there'd be anyone.
It damages for years and years and years and years throughout the whole country, everyone. And it's all very good and right talking about the homeless and children in poverty and the suicide rate and that, but that's all once it's all happened. It doesn't get anywhere near just the root of the problem or the genesis of what's going on. All right, let's talk tax now, though, Jacinda. Let's talk your transparency about tax and whether you get to hang out with Winston.
Winston knows.
That's Winston Peters. That's the cover star of the latest Women's Weekly, just so you know. It's not you, pretty Jacinda, with your big smile. It's Winston Peters.
Yeah, the reason...
He blocked you and got on the cover of Women's Weekly this week. How do you feel about that?
No problem with that at all. But the reason he's talking about this is because we've said, look, when we're in government, we want to do a piece of work around the fairness of our system at the moment. You know, someone who works a 40-hour week pays tax, someone who flicks four houses, and that's how they make a living, doesn't in the same way. So it's a question of fairness, and it's also about doing everything we can to turn around the housing crisis, because for 9 years the government hasn't done enough, and I want to make sure that we're making every effort possible
a
reality.
So what is it that Winston wants to see, though? Show us the plan.
He thinks I've got some secret predetermined plan.
Like you're going to go 40% income tax on everyone. They should never have trusted me. Sort of thing.
What he's wrong about is that we've got some plans on personal tax rates. We've ruled out increasing personal tax rates. That is not something that is on our agenda. So on that front, he's wrong. The only thing I've kept open is the tax working group around looking at what we can do around...
Well, that's what he's questioning. He's questioning the tax working group. This supposed tax working group.
He thinks I've already decided, which is... absolutely wrong. If I decided, I'd be campaigning on it.
And I think it's funny when National say, they're hassling you about that. And look at the people they got to suss out the flag.
Yeah.
One
of the things that frustrates me is that in 2008, obviously National said that they weren't making any changes.
Well, they say a lot of things, Jacinda.
Then they came in and had a tax working group and increased GST. Well, we're saying, yep, we're going to have a look. We're saying what's off the table.
I didn't notice, actually. I was just reveling in the joy of the massive amounts of money I made on the tax cuts, you know? Just
which
living
is
large.
GST.
Woo!
Yeah.
Apart from I don't even remember them, even. So what do you do? Do you worry about appeasing Winston, or is this a post-election day thing?
Yeah, you just got to run your own campaign. You can't worry about that.
Yeah, well, he's out there being a poster boy in the Women's Weekly. I was just kind of looking jealous now. You know, all we have to do is not get the 40 years in politics, then you get on the front page of the Women's Weekly. It's cool.
I missed it, actually. I must go take a look.
Oh, you must. It's nicely airbrushed. Jacinda, so what's on the plan today? What's the, I mean, like you say, we're so close. We want to talk about, before you go, let's talk about voting. Let's talk about election registering to vote. Let's talk about the importance of doing that.
So my strong message today to people would be, if you're not sure about your enrollment, you're not sure you're enrolled, if you haven't got anything about your enrollment lately, worried you might not be up to date, then the best thing to do is vote early. And you can vote from today, because if you vote before election day, you can enrol and vote at the same time. Look, there were over 20,000 people last election who went and cast a vote on election day, and it didn't count because they hadn't enrolled. So if you vote early, you can enrol and vote at the same time. So just get in before the 23rd, and you'll be right.
There's, so how do you enrol and vote? So you can do it online, basically?
No, you just go into a polling booth. You can only vote in person. Only vote in person, because if you go and enrol separately, you have to print out the form, fill it in, sign it, send it in.
Yeah, this is what I had to do because I had there was a mistake in my details. I just had to do that the other night, and I
You can bypass all of that by just going in before Election Day to a polling booth and filling in the enrolment form and then filling in your ballot paper.
The success of this campaign for you is going to be whether the millions of people that have been dazzled by the Jacinda effect actually get up and do the thing they're supposed to do, which is vote. Isn't that right?
If everyone gets out and votes, if particularly 18 to 24-year-olds who didn't really last election, if they all get out and vote, then we can change the government. But I can only do so much. I just need people to take that extra bit of time, you know.
Just pull your weight, eh?
Please vote.
please vote. And then of course, if everybody votes, then if you don't win, you know, at least it was a fair deal.
Everything, you know. Yeah. You don't want to sit there and say, if only that block of people just went out and voted. Every vote makes such a huge difference in New Zealand when you're such a small country. One vote makes a difference.
The Labour Party's Jacinda Ardern. Thank you so much. Speak to you again this time next week.
Talk soon. Bye.
Have fun. Bye-bye.
That was What's Up with Jacinda Ardern.
Wow, do you see how wasted Ariana Grande got here the other night when she's here? Woo!
Body so fit, so full of spark. With affirmations as your wall art. You were driven, eyes on the prize. Routine, home exercise.
Hey, I just reckon that just let's just everyone just take a moment just for BFM, yeah? That's a really cool track. That's Jonathan Bree, and it's called You're So Cool.
BFM News.
Atamalia, good morning. Ko Alessandra Nixon, tokoingo, ko te iwa karaka. It's 9 o'clock. Corrections New Zealand are looking at options to reduce inmate numbers as they run out of space in prisons. A program is underway to ensure inmates who are eligible can apply for electronic bail or home detention. Corrections National Commissioner Rachel Leota says they will work to make sure offenders are aware of the options available to them. Leota said, adds it's important inmates don't face barriers when applying for these options and have the full support of staff. The Environmental and Community Committee is looking to address water management and quality across Auckland. Community Chair Penny Hull says they are focusing strongly on solutions that improve water quality.
What is causing the problem? What's the plan we've got for fixing it? How much is it going to cost? And over what time we can work on making an improvement to Auckland's water quality?
Hull adds that it's pleasing to know Auckland Mayor Phil Goff is prioritising this plan for water quality. Māori Language Week kicks off today with a parade through the central streets of Wellington. 25 floats will make their way to the Civic Square at midday, the first of many celebrations throughout the week. According to the Māori Language Commission, only 21% of Māori and 4% of the total New Zealand population can hold a conversation in Te Reo. The Māori Language Commission chief executive says the language is endangered but believes this can be turned around. The commission says all New Zealanders have a role to play in ensuring the language survives. The Australian government's decision to withdraw financial support and housing for asylum seekers has drawn international criticism and complaints from the United Nations. Last month, Australian Immigration Minister Peter Dutton announced a new final departure bridging visa for refugees and asylum seekers brought to Australia from Nauru or Manus for medical treatment. So far, 63 refugees and asylum seekers across Australia have been issued with the new visa. They've lost all government financial support and face eviction from government-supplied housing within 1 week. It's believed up to 400 people face having financial support withdrawn in an effort to encourage them to abandon their protection claims or return to Australia's offshore detention centres. And that's the news.
Thank you very much, Alessandra.
Sleet, low pressure systems, depressions, and more in this 95BFM weather update. Thanks to ProGear.
Anena tohu, hurere mo tene rā, your weather forecast for Rahina Monday, 11th of September. Partly cloudy with heavy showers, some with hail and thunder possible, and strong gusty west-southwesterly winds. A high of 14 degrees and an overnight low of 8 degrees. Sunset is at 7 minutes past 6. Your outlook for the next 3 days, Ratu Tuesday, partly to mostly cloudy with a few showers and west-southwesterlies. Ra'apo Wednesday, mostly fine and warmer, then later showers developing with strengthening western westerlies, and Rapere Thursday, mostly fine but cloudy with chance of a shower and westerly winds.
Are you wearing the right amount of layers? I hope so. That was a 95BFM weather update. Thanks to ProGear, unparalleled quality and professional photographics. Online at progear.co.nz.
It's the 95BFM Surf Report.
On the east coast, up to 1 foot northerly swell with strong west-southwesterly winds. High tide is at 17 minutes to 11 and low tide is at 10 minutes to 5. 0 out of 10, mill pond out east today. On the west coast, 10 foot west-southwesterly swell with strong west-southwesterly winds. High tide is at 13 minutes to 1 this afternoon. 0 out of 10 with monster swells again today, staying large and unsurfable for Auckland beaches throughout the week. That's your news, weather and surf. Thanks very much to the Monday Morning Breakfast team of Adele and Jean. I'm Alessandra Nixon. It's 3 minutes past 9.
Gracias, 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 and gracias, gracias, gracias. And to the whole news team, thank you very much indeed. We now sit at 9:05 on the BFM Breakfast Show, and I mean, for different people, that means different things. Johnny, what does it mean for you?
9:05.
Yeah, just a weekday at 9:05, normally at home on your ass doing nothing.
Yeah, maybe prepping for drive, thinking about some music that I might like to play.
Really? So if I run...
getting my papers in order.
Just making sure, the rights for all the songs are all.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Now, I mean, let's talk about this. I mean, the elephant. Let's address the elephant in the room, Johnny. You host Drive with Big Hungry, and I mean, is he going to come in here? Is he going to want to step me out? What's going to happen here? Taken his girl? What's going on?
Not at all. I think.
I'm not suggesting you guys are in a relationship. I'm just saying.
Made round to go around at BFM. Everyone's
love. Community. Community is the word you're looking for. Community. Community.
Hey, so...
Unity.
What have we got in the last sort of hour of the show? We've got...
Not much.
We've got some London Grammar. You've got... How are you going to give away the double pass to London Grammar?
When you hear me play a song with the title, with the word London and the title.
Was there another prize up for grabs this morning?
I can have a look. See, I mean, I hardly noticed, to be honest.
Over.
We do have an hour. No, I can't tell from that.
But we do.
We do too. I forgot about that. That's terrible. I forgot about that. We've got a double pass to go see the movie Spookers, the documentary, Florian Habich's documentary, which is awesome. You've been to Spookers? Do you do that?
Do you do the
whole piss yourself publicly thing? Or?
We went out there like one stormy night. It was
horrific. We? Who's we? Bunch of your mate. You and your Ruben mates. Bonner? You and your mate. Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Sam Hamlin.
Oh, good God.
Yeah. It was pouring with rain. It was horrifically bad weather, and we went out there and got the shit scared out of us. It was great fun.
And was it something? Was it better than you expected?
Oh, it was 1,000 times better than expected.
That's the thing. The documentary is fantastic as well. The documentary shows a whole different side to it again from the Spookers that you know or have maybe you've been. I've never been there, and I feel like I should now. But it's a really cool documentary, and it's a really unique documentary. I suppose all documentaries try and be unique, but it's a real beauty. And we do have the double pass. Let's just give that away now, man.
Yeah, I reckon.
All right, well, perhaps maybe you can give us a call and three words. I want three words that, if you say them down the phone, will chill us to the bone.
Beyond the grave.
Something like that might be one, you know, like the one I'm thinking of. Are you a Ren and Stimpy fan?
Yes. What are you thinking of?
Okay, do you know the episode where Ren and Stimpy are going door-to-door selling rubber nipples?
It rings a bell, but I haven't seen it for a long, long time.
Oh, this might run. And then so they go knock on the door. Knock, knock, knock. No, sir, not like it. The horse answers. The horse, but he's covered in rubber nipples, and he goes, that's good. If he gets, and so they try and sell him rubber nipples. Hi, sir, do you want some rubber? Hey, those are rubber nipples. So thing. And then the horse says, honey? And he asks his wife, and his wife sort of suggests, she's also wearing rubber nipples already. She suggests that, no, maybe don't need any. No, I don't think so. Sort of thing. He goes, no, don't. And then he just stops for a second, and he goes, well, just a moment. And he goes, do you have any rubber walrus protectors? And this pulls out this walrus from behind the door. And the walrus looks just terrified and concerned, just goes, call the police. It's the funniest thing there's ever been, ever. Ever. This look on this walrus's face, that then you ask yourself, what have they been doing to that walrus? Where did they abduct him from? And how long has he been in the house? And because he's so scared that all he can say is, call the police. So 309-3879, if you've got three chilling words, and if you scared Johnny and I enough, we'll give you a double pass to the Guns N' Spookers, which is obviously on general release now. Ba, ba, ba. Hello, BFM.
Yeah, mate. How's it going?
That's not scary so far.
Just got back from the old mill.
Just got back from the old mill?
Yeah, mate. No, sir. I don't like it.
No, sir.
I don't like it.
I love it. I love that so much. Space madness! Marooned! No, that's not scary. Thank you. All the best. 309-3879. If you, perhaps maybe you're a psychopath and you want to test out some lines. No? Okay. This is the thing. She says that the BFM listener is a listener whose heart is full of love, Johnny, and not full of hate or evil or darkness. We all walk in the light together towards this the new future, don't we? Let's do this. Don't you think? Maybe that's it. Let's do this. Let's do this. BFM.
Good morning.
Good morning.
National wins election.
Oh, hey, that's a bit biased, mate. I think you like myself. You.